particular responsibility. But we were 24 years overseas and then served 18 years at our headquarters and directing missions. Been in a few countries, about 7 million miles on an airplane, and that's not one of my favorite things to do, as you can imagine. But it's been a real incredible ride. I think tomorrow I'm going to share my testimony to give you kind of a feel for why I'm so passionate about the message of holiness. I'll be working on holiness and kind of growth in these days, and really looking forward to being with you, and hope to get to know more of you. I know that we had a good time in Vicksburg, and Dr. Tollers, by the way, sends his special greetings, and he loves you guys very much, and is praying for us in these days. Brother Dawson, good to be with you and your people here, and so excited about this privilege of mine to be with you. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 14. John 14, and we're going to read beginning in verse 15. I'd invite you to stand for the reading of God's word, if you would please. John 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, that cuts out the Calvinism. If you love me, keep my commandments. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Father, I pray this morning that you would open our hearts . Sometimes we get so busy doing your work that we almost forget who you are. Sometimes we get so busy doing your work that we take on the responsibility in our own strength. Sometimes we get so busy that we almost forget about you, O Lord. But I pray that these days will be days of renewal. And we'll forget about the stigma of going to the altar and, I can't just go to the altar or look at who I am. I'm a pastor, or I'm a teacher in Sunday school, or I'm whatever we may be. But I pray, oh God, that you would move in our midst in these days, that we could be revived and renewed, and we could be re-infilled with your Holy Spirit. Or if there's someone who really needs to be filled with your Holy Spirit, that you would work on them. I pray, oh God, that you'll pour out your Spirit upon us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. You may be seated. All believers need a helper. Sometimes we don't live that way, do we? Sometimes we think that we can just kind of do it in our own strength, our own ability. Sometimes we take on this responsibility, and, you know, so many today want to do religion in their own strength. That's what Adam and Eve did. Matter of fact, they wanted to know like God. Does that sound like Americans? We just want to do it in our own ability. But what Jesus is trying to say to us is that we need a holy helper. We can't do this by ourselves. I don't care how long you have been walking in God's plan and God's way, and I don't care how long you've been preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, you cannot do it in your own strength. So every one of us needs a holy helper. And that's exactly what Jesus is trying to say to us. He knew their need. Over in Acts chapter 15, 8 and 9, the scripture says this: "So God, who knows the heart, acknowledged them by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us." Put no distinction between the Jew and the Gentile. But he purified their hearts by faith. Amen. You see, God knows that we cannot do it by ourselves. And he planned a very gospel that fits every one of us. I know that we've got all kinds of churches around where you live. They're preaching that you cannot do it. You cannot live a holy life. They're preaching that it's just absolutely impossible. I've even heard people say in our church, "Well, it's just impossible to live a holy life." I don't know if you follow basketball or not. Steph Curry, who's supposed to be the big athlete Christian, and he just takes all kinds of credit for being a believer in Jesus and a follower of Jesus, and he's just putting that up front. But the other night, he lost his temper and cursed out the referee and got thrown out of the game. But use words that a believer in Jesus Christ doesn't use. That's not God's plan for us. God's plan is for us to be a holy people. But the only way for us to be holy is through the power of God's Holy Spirit. Now, who is this Holy Spirit? I want to submit to you that Jesus knew him pretty well. As a matter of fact, he's a part of the triune God. And if you go all the way back to the beginning, the triune God was at work in the world, and even in the creation of the world and in the creation of man, the triune God was working: the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. You cannot divide this triune God. But God has in his wonderful mercy, he sent Jesus into the world so that you and I could really have freedom from sin that goes all the way back to Adam and Eve. And that we, through the fall, I'm sorry to say, we do not rejoice in the victory of Adam and Eve, but we are dismayed in the plight of the carnal nature that every one of us receives from the fall, and that we need a remedy for that. Now, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, He forgives us of our sins and we become a new creation in Christ. We quit sinning. And when Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commandments," that is for every believer. And what God puts into the heart of every believer, I'm talking about a real believer. I'm not talking about these people who just come to church and they're just kind of following afar off. I'm talking about someone who has confessed their sins, who has repented of their sins, which means that you turn around and you follow the Lord and you begin to serve Him and live for Him, and you want to love Him and you want to love Him more and more. But then there becomes a time that you begin to notice that there's, as Paul said, another member in my body. Something else. It's like a struggle. I call it a civil war that's within us. You want to serve the Lord, but you feel that there's a tug that's pulling you back and wanting to take you back out into the world. That's what Jesus is trying to say to us here. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will give you another helper. The Holy Spirit. He said, it's expedient for you. And John 16, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I do not go away, I cannot send the Holy Helper to you. And pastors, this should be a passion for every one of us to preach this message. Now, I don't know about your denomination. I'm hoping that you're better than ours. We've always been known as a holiness church. We started out as a holiness church. We started out with a passion for not just the lostness of man, but a passion to get people sanctified holy. Why? Because we knew, our leaders knew, that we cannot do it in our own strength. When I was first converted a few years ago, a lot of years ago, my pastor said to me a little quip that I never forgot. He said, "You know, a denomination usually lasts about 100 years, 60 to 100, he said. Now, we're more than 100 years old now. I don't know how old you are, but I have a feeling that you might be somewhere in that realm. And what happens through the generations is we ordain, we get people who begin to twist, and many times we bring this gospel down to our level rather than letting God lift us to His level and sanctifying us holy. And so we settle in for much less than what God has for us. And so, in our denomination, a lot of times, if you just kind of draw the circle of themes that we would have, whether it be, you know, life sermons and how to live and this and that and all of the different themes that a preacher will preach, holiness is one of those themes. And so a lot of our preachers will preach maybe two or three times a year. But in reality, when you draw the life circle, holiness is the heart. It is the center. And every theme that we preach must bring the message to holiness. That brings people to this reality that they cannot live this holy life by themselves. Because we need a holy helper. God's plan. Jesus said in verse 26, when he comes, he will teach us. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He teaches us. He works on us. He helps us. He helps us day by day. He helps us moment by moment. And we're constantly, you know, we never really arrive to where we can say, oh, I'm finished. It's a life relationship where we're always growing and growing. But we can receive his holy helper who will walk with us and who will teach us, who will help us. And he will teach us all things in manner of how we are to live. Well, John 16 says that he will always glorify Jesus. Isn't that awesome? Holy Spirit doesn't come to glorify himself. He comes to work in our life, to live in us, to take our lives and mold us and help us to be the kind of person that Jesus wants us to be. But he's always lifting up the Father and Jesus. But he, in effect, becomes the agent of the triune God who is working in us and he's helping us. And Jesus always talked about him not as an it. I don't know if you've ever gotten into that habit or not, but you can't call the Holy Spirit an it. He is him. He is God. He's God in us. And he is ready and willing to work with us and help us. And he will come to all Christians, believers. I almost don't use the word Christian anymore, because it doesn't mean much to a lot of people. So I use the word believer, believer in Jesus Christ. And if you're a real believer in Jesus Christ, you will follow him and you will obey him and you will follow his commandments and you will be God's person. And you're saved by the working of God's Holy Spirit. Well, we need a helper, don't you? We live in such a world today that it's sometimes pretty difficult. Today the world has more influence on the church than the church has on the world. And I don't know about you, but I think in every aspect, the world is always pulling. And we've got to have an inner strength to withstand that, to withstand the moving of the devil, for he works in every way that he possibly can. And I've said many times, pastors, if he can't get you down and out, he'll take you up and out, where he'll swell your head to think you're something important, and only to drop you even harder. So it's always important for us that we know that he converts, we are converted, and we know that we belong to him, and it's always important for us to want to come to him. And the scripture says in Luke that if we, being evil, know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will a heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who ask him? And so, giving us the Holy Spirit means a walking a living. It means that he lives in us. He works in us. He is helping us in every way, and he helps us with our weakness. You ever hear a preacher say, you know, the devil works on your weakness? But the Holy Spirit is given to us to help us in our weakness. Do holiness people have weakness? You better bet. Holiness people can, we're just human. We're frail people. But I want you to know that in this union with God and with His Holy Spirit living in you and this wonderful relationship that we have, that we don't have to fall back. We don't have to sin. We don't have to turn back from God. We don't have to fail. There is victory if we want to follow in Him. And sometimes our weakness becomes difficulties because of our habits. And I don't know if I will do this or not, but I feel kind of like the Lord may be leading me sometime during these meetings to talk about this. But you know, when you're sanctified, that doesn't solve all of your habits. When you're sanctified, God cleanses our heart of that carnal nature, and He purifies us and He fills us with His holy love. But you still have habits. Now, sometimes those habits are broken, even in conversion. I've heard of all kinds of issues. The other day, somebody was telling me of this person who was converted and had a terrible drug addiction, and immediately the drugs were taken away, no desire. But others will have problems with those habits of drugs, and the effects of those drugs are not taken away immediately. So what do? They have to bring their habits into harmony with what God has done in their hearts, and they will have to really work at living a holy life. So it's not an automatic, but what it is a cleansing of our carnal nature so that we can truly love God with all of our heart, and He becomes our guide, and He intercedes for us, Romans 8 says. I don't know about you, but this is very comforting to me. Sometimes I get down to an altar of prayer, and I just don't know what to pray for. Don't know how to pray. And you ever get to the place where you, maybe the best kind of praying is when you get to the place where you can't say anything, God, the Holy Spirit, just kind of takes over. And He begins to move. And maybe when we're the quietest is when God works the most. But I believe that God really wants to do something significant for us. And Romans 8:26 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what we should pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And now He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He is always by our side. Isn't that wonderful? You're out there in some kind of an issue that you're dealing with. Remember, the Holy Spirit's with you. You're in a tried and tested and a problem issue. The Holy Spirit is with you, and He always wants to work in you, and it's always the Holy Spirit that convicts, and He's convincing, and He's working. And He can help us to be like the apostles in Acts chapter 4. Have you read it? They were undergoing major persecution. We don't know what persecution is. Sometimes we think we do, but we really don't. I received an email one day from Ethiopia. I better not give too many details here, but anyway, it was a country close to Ethiopia. And one of our converts was on his knees, been converted 9 months, and four masked men behind him. And they were saying to him, if you'll recant from this Jesus and you'll turn back to our religion, we'll let you live. Now, 9 months old in the Lord, he's already a preacher. He's got a house church, an underground church. And they're saying to him, if you'll just tell us you'll turn back, we'll let you live. Now, that's persecution. Now, what would you do? Do you have enough of Jesus to keep from negating Him? Do you have enough of the power of God in your life that you would confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And this young man, 9 months old in the Lord, said, I will not turn back from Jesus. And right there, they took a video and sent it to me as director of missions. They cut off his head. We may not go through that kind of persecution, but the apostles went through a persecution and they brought them in to the rulers. We just may go through that. America's not too far from that. And here's what they said. We note that they have been with Jesus, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, and that they marveled, and they realized that they had been with Jesus. I don't know about you, but I just hope somebody would say that about me. That's the kind of mark of man I want to be. But that only comes through giving your whole life and letting Him save and sanctify. Let Him cleanse and purify our hearts, and letting God's Holy Spirit live in us, and letting Him fill us with His holy love. And then He becomes our comforter, or our paraclete, our helper, our holy helper. And He wants the best for us in this holy relationship that we can have, not just on Sunday, but every moment of every day. To love Him with all of our hearts. This promise is for everyone. You remember the message of Peter in Acts chapter 2, where Peter preached, and then Peter says, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Many years ago now, I held a revival in a Birmingham First Church, one of our older churches. At that time, the pastor told me the church was pretty staid and pretty stale. Not much happening in the church. And God, in that revival, began to work. And it was the last night of the revival that I tell you, heaven just kind of opened up. And I gave an invitation to come to the altar. It was just like a flood of people moving to the altar, and they filled the altar and filled the whole front. And I mean, God came in a wonderful way. How long has it been since you've been in a God moment like that? Would it be that in these days that God would just like to somehow reach out and touch me and you? So many times we come to church for the shovel. Yeah, that's good for so-and-so. We just kind of put it over our shoulder. Could it be that God in these days wants to bring revival to this denomination? Could it be that God would want you to become even a movement for God, where you're doing church planting and you begin to see Mississippi and maybe the states and maybe even missions overseas, you see them with through the eyes of Jesus? And the Great Commission doesn't become the great suggestion, but it becomes the great plan of God. Could it be that God wants to do something in our lives in this conference, that he would help us to take back to our local churches and we'd see God begin to move like never before? I didn't come to you with any kind of special potion, but I didn't come to you thinking this will just be another meeting. I came praying that God will outpour his Spirit on you wonderful people, that he'd give you a new power, a new infilling, a new promise of God, that you'll see God move in your denomination like never before, and you'll catch the holy flame of God, and you'll be willing to be spent out for God. Are you willing to say, here am I, oh God? Use me, send me, fill me, reinvill me, where I can be the kind of person that you want me to be. Jesus said it very clearly. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will give you a holy helper. Now, how many of you this morning, don't lift your hands, but how many of you this morning, your holy helper is kind of stale? You're kind of living in the past. How many times we just go to church and it's the same old, same old? I pray that God would move in our midst in these days. We're not going to sing and even play music. But I'd just like to end this service this morning, and I'm going to ask Pastor Williams to come and pray for us. I'd just like everybody who's willing to say, Lord, here am I. I need a new, fresh outpouring of your Spirit. Oh, my life. Would you just come kneel at the altar or at the front seats or sit on the front seat, however it may be, that would be appropriate for you. Would you just come and let God move in your midst today? God's here. He wants to help us. In Jesus' name.